part of our mass formation psychosis as Christians in America has been projecting our simple virtue system onto everything else around us, in part because at one point our culture did have something very similar to that virtue system, and to some level it's been ashamed to show the rot blatantly, even while the rot has been underneath and going deeper and deeper for two generations, maybe three. And so now it's like, oh, look, the rot is not ashamed anymore of itself. And that is a slippery slope kind of thing. That is, it's picking up speed. There's momentum. So it's going faster and faster toward the evil. It's less and less afraid of just burying itself as the evil.
Right.
So maybe that's what is at, is the shockingness of the unashamedness. But again, like, that's our hypnosis as Christians to not realize that all along,
it's always been there.
This is there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were just hiding it.
And it was more subtle. So that it could get to this point. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
gangrene.
I remember when we were little, you didn't hear certain words on the television. And mm-hmm. now I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
Well, but even like, but it was on that one, creep. I got to say, I'm not Joe Rogan's biggest fan ever.
Okay.
But neither do I despise Joe Rogan just because he drops F-bombs sometimes. Right. Like,
after a while, it's not really a where it's not what it.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It is. It's not elite. It's not cultured and educated and all these things. And I can get that, but like, that ain't our problem. Our problem is not F-bombs on TV. Okay. Our problem is a hatred for Jesus, disbelief in the risen man, and a rejection of the orders of creation as given in the Ten Commandments. That's our problem. And the F-bomb isn't in the Ten Commandments. There's nothing there about saying poo-poo, right? Like, right. Like, it's not, there is no thou shalt not be vulgar. It says you should speak well of your neighbor. Okay, so you can read it into the Eighth Commandment if you really want to hard. Mm-hmm. But like, again, if it's anything, that's just like the far edge of the rot. And the real center of the rot is sexual perversion. Religious, spiritual perversion, covetousness, mm-hmm. right? Covetousness, which is idolatry, and the fleshly, carnal giving over to the passions of our natural inborn desires to abuse others for the sake of our pleasure. Those two things being just unleashed on as virtues, right? That's our problem. And so, you know, if someone's going to just, you know, randomly use potty language, I mean, and then we're going to get mad about that. That's a smokescreen. That's a distraction, right? I should point out also, like, the worship of demons and the pursuit of actual magic, and the connection of that with science and technology, some areas of medicine. That's real too. That's real too. The belief that somehow we're going to find the right alchemical concoction of ingredients to bring about the elixir of life by which we avoid all illnesses, like, that's wicked. It's wicked, right? Take a Tylenol if you need to, although don't give it to your kids. We find out more and more, right? There's some real bad science on that, good science on how bad it is for your kids, especially in infancy, that's come out recently. But but my point there is, like, it's not, you know, if you break open a wound, you can stitch it. Right? It's okay. Stitch the wound, right? So, you know, don't reject wisdom, but you definitely want to reject magic and magical thinking. You know, I was born with boy parts, but I'm a girl. That's magical thinking, right? And then that's always demonic on some level. Yes, Amy, potty language does indicate ignorance. Actually, let me put it this way. I don't think it's just ignorance. I think it is an awareness of weakness. And so what any type of cursing does, even like shucks, mm-hmm. it's an attempt to grab power with your mouth. Even if you're all by yourself, You're trying to gain power over nature with your mouth. And that's where it's magical too. It's an attempt to be godlike, right? And so in a conversation with people, when you drop that big word, you're asserting power in that conversation. Now, I kind of think every once in a while, there might be a time where that makes sense because it's actually that real. And it does need to be said in a way which shocks people. I don't know that you ever want to be recorded when that's happening, and it shouldn't be, you know, part of your show. But I don't know. There's a point where we want to be able to declare things to be what they are to the fullest extent. So, for example, St. Paul, when he talks about counting all things as loss for the sake of Christ, it's not a nice bland word like loss that he uses. He uses the most crass description of poop that he can use in Greek, right? And so we have our own version. So Paul has no problem saying that because he's trying to make a very emphatic point of just how worthless everything else is. Elijah does the same thing when he's mocking the prophets of Baal, and he asks them if perhaps Baal is indisposed, right? No, that's how the Victorians would say it. Yeah, that's not how Elijah says it. He says it as crassly as he can. And so what's the point, though? Like, there are times to use colorful metaphors, if I can quote Spock. Generally, the dropping of these colorful metaphors as common is a sign of fear. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of fear. I don't mean to call Joe Rogan a coward or anything like that, but in those moments when he's saying that, he's grabbing for power in the conversation, you know. And so it's an intellectual, what do you call that? So you said ignorance. You're kind of right there. Then it's a crutch. It's an intellectual crutch. And so to strive to be able to converse powerfully without an intellectual crutch is a Christian endeavor, I would say. Yeah, it's a virtuous endeavor. So, yeah.